On this episode of Thinking Inside the Box, we shred the half pipes in Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2X. Hello, everybody. I'm Excalibur.
And I'm your co-host, Off Mic.
All right. What game are we going to be reviewing today, sir?
Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2X.
Oh, yeah. A great game.
Yes. It was a very distinct game and one that I wasn't sure how I'd approach it.
Yeah. I had some familiarity from the Nintendo 64 going in with the Tony Hawk's Pro Skater series. Although for, you know, a next generation jump, I wasn't really sure, like you, what I was getting myself into. I found myself pleasantly surprised.
I think we both did.
Yeah, yeah, for sure, for sure. You know, at first I was fumbling around, couldn't figure it out for a couple minutes, and I was just like, this is going to suck. I stuck with it, and within 15 minutes, I was shredding, bruh.
Okay, so let's jump right into what this game's about.
All right, so Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2X is developed by Neversoft. It is published by Activision, and it is a single-player game featuring multiplayer, 480p, Dolby 5.1 surround. Online features are System Link. It is rated T for Teen for blood, mild lyrics, and suggestive themes. It is a sports alternative skateboarding genre game released on November 14th, 2001, exclusively on the Xbox. The overview is Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2X was designed to take full advantage of the technical capabilities of Xbox. The game features the franchise's signature gameplay, intuitive controls, all of the levels from both Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2 and the original Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, in addition to more populated environments, brand new levels, realistic special effects, and smoother lifelike animations. The inclusion of System Link gameplay brings the skateboarding experience to life. What you guess, Off Mic?
All right. So on my end, it says, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2X includes both Tony Hawk 1 and 2, together with improvements to backgrounds and player models, new Treyarch levels that are exclusive to the Xbox, the ability to use all your favorite Tony Hawk 2 tricks in the original Tony Hawk, plus between 4 and 8 players can play simultaneously in the many multiplayer options, including Trick Attack, Graffiti, Tag, Horse, and Free Skate. So
definitely a feature-packed game.
Oh, yes. And not one we weren't even aware that the first game was available. All right. So our publisher was Activision Publishing, which was known as Activision 02 at the start of this game. Activision was founded in 1979 by 4 programmers of Atari after they wanted more money and recognition for the games they created for the Atari 2600. There's a sales sheet that intended to list what type of games sold best so the programmers would make more like those, so that the 4 of them made over 60% of the company's sales at the time, which was over $60 million. Wow. Atari president Ray Kasar dismissed their contract renegotiations, and at that point they left. David Crane, Alan Miller, Robert Whitehead, Larry Kaplan, and the former record industry executive Jim Levy founded Activision, and their games would have a biography and their signature at the end of the instruction booklets. This took off, and Activision made millions in sales. It is also marked at the start of the third-party publishing and development, as previously the owner of the hardware also made all of the games for it. The name of the company was chosen because they wanted a name that was higher up alphabetically than Atari in order to show that it was superior. In 1984, sales began to fall as the video game crash happened, which was in late 1983. There was a split on the direction of the company and whether to keep going with video games or computer games, and over the next few years, key employees at Activision left and formed their own companies. Many of these new companies chose name alphabetically above Activision, such as Accolade, Acclaim, and Absolute Entertainment. With sales dropping and Jim Levy's style of crediting individuals and the games becoming less effective, then he left the company in 1985. In 1989, they started focusing on other computer software and changed their name to Mediagenic. In 1991, Mediagenic filed for bankruptcy. Eventually, they changed their name back to Activision, and in 1993, they surfaced again. Since then, Activision has been turned into the second largest publishing company in the United States. In 2000, Activision reorganized it into a holding company organization structure. The reorganization was made effective by a merger between Activision and ATVI Merchant Sub, a subsidiary of Activision Holding Company Incorporated, which in turn was a subsidiary of Activision Incorporated itself. This merger resulted in all shares of Activision Holding Company was owned by Activision Incorporated to be canceled and retired, followed by Activision Incorporated changing its name to Activision Publishing and Activision Holding Company to Activision Incorporated to the newly Activision Publishing Incorporated, which became a wholly owned subsidiary of Activision Incorporated. A lot of merging being involved. Basically, it sounds like they just merged themselves all into one full company. In 2008, the company was acquired for $18.8 billion by Vivendi, which is a media conglomerate. This new name was the company was known as Activision Blizzard. Vivendi already owned Blizzard Entertainment, so the idea of this acquisition was to make Activision Blizzard Incorporated the biggest and most profitable game publishing company in the world. So there's our history of our Activision friends.
That's a very cool story about Activision. Well, at least, you know, the description of their history. They started out really early, and so did some of these titans that stick around and still produce, or at least have a part in getting these awesome games to the market these days as a publisher. Speaking on the side of, you know, who actually makes the games versus the enabler, we also have the developer, who is Neversoft. They were founded in July of 1994 by three people that came from Acme Interactive to band together and create their own development studio, and initially found work for Playmates Interactive when they wanted to release a new line of toys called Skeleton Warriors. They contracted Neversoft to start a game, and with so many consoles being released at the time, ended up canceling the project not long after they had started on it. Not because they were unhappy with the progress, though, but just because they wanted to have the game developed for another console that it was just coming out at the time, changing gears from where they originally developed the game for, or started to develop the game for. So they switched to the Sega Saturn. In 95, they spent most of their time developing Skeleton Warriors for the Sega Saturn. And over that time, they hired a few programmers, a few artists, and a level designer, and started to expand. At that point, they got to where they could start porting games, which they ended up porting the game Skeleton Warriors that they had first worked on for the PlayStation in 1996. From there on, they had kind of a hard time with having projects that followed through. They just had an issue with the contractor, pretty much. They had a game in development called Ghost Rider for Crystal Dynamics, which was canceled due to financial issues with the publisher. And they went on to create technology for a game that they wanted to do called Big Guns, which they ended up stopping or scrapping. And then it converted to MDK for the PC, which ended up actually coming out later on. Following up from then, toward the end of 96, going into 97, Big Guns had actually begun development, which started a pretty rocky year for them. 97 was not a favorable year either. The conversion of MDK took a lot longer than they expected, and the Big Guns game that got started in the first place was then renamed to Exodus. They went through numerous design changes, which was just wasting time and wasting money before the game was eventually canceled in the end of 97. When the company was starting to flourish and expand and grow, they were met with a lot of obstacles and ended up having to downsize. By the end of 97, their company had shrunk back down to just 12 employees from the near 30 that they had had. At that point, Neversoft would spend the next few months shopping around their technology, meeting with numerous companies, and looking for work. They had something that could be used, and they needed to find somebody who was wanting to use that technology for their game. In 98, when they got lucky, when they found Activision. Activision at the time was looking for someone to develop or redevelop a game called Apocalypse, which was at the time a failed internal project. And the technology that Neversoft had developed for the game Big Guns, that never ended up working out, was exactly what they were looking for that game. So in May, they struck a deal, and they decided to start developing a prototype for a skateboarding game. And this proceeded slowly, as they could not spare many people from Apocalypse, But over time, they were able to develop the game, and the initial prototypes ended up resembling the arcade game Top Skater. When Apocalypse wrapped up in October of 98, they started on Tony Hawk's Pro Skater for the PlayStation and Nintendo 64. By the end of 98, the game development was in full swing. Neversoft was comprised of 16 people at the time, of 6 programmers, 5 artists, 3 level designers, 1 producer, and Joel, the company's president. At that point, they had found their groove and continued upon that success from 1999 to 2007, developing 9 Tony Hawk's Pro Skater games, and increased their employees from 16 to over 150. In 2005, they started dabbling in different games known as Guitar Hero. There's a few different series they released or had a part in. Up until July of 2014, which was almost 20 years to the day of their founding, they were merged into Infinity Ward, as they would call to become a super studio. To celebrate the merger, they actually held a burning of their sculpture of their iconic symbol that was in their offices at the time. There's actually a picture on Twitter of that. And that's the history of Neversoft. They started the Tony Hawk's Pro Skater series, and for that, they'll never be forgotten.
Iconic studio with one of the most grotesque logos. It's sad to see the beginning and the ends of these companies, but they get put into all these newer companies that are doing really well. And that's, I guess that's a testament to the work they've done. We also have like another developer in this game. They helped, I think, port it from the original PlayStation 2 version, and that was Treyarch.
Yes.
Treyarch was founded in 1996 by 2 gamer mathematicians, Peter Ackerman and Don Lykness. The company develops games for various platforms and has over 150 employees. Some of the most critically acclaimed games by Treyarch include Die by the Sword, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2X, Triple Play Baseball, Draconis, Cult of the Worm, and Spider-Man. Activision acquired the company in 2001, and it became known simply as Treyarch in Activision Studio. The majority of this team stayed with the new regime. October 4, 2001 was their final day before they were merged into Activision.
Their final day of being an independent studio.
Yes. And it's funny how all these, you know, looking at these studios, they all had a part in the Call of Duty series. All of them. Activision, yes. Treyarch, and Neversoft, technically, because they got merged into Infinity Ward. So it's kind of cool to see the success of these companies actually blossomed into games we know and love dearly today.
Right.
So
they still continue to make great games. It's not, you know, bad games that they just keep pushing out or that they just ended, period, you know, or became part of a zombie crew that's just, you know, a shell of what they used to be. They're still producing great AAA titles that people love, and they still share success. So it is a nice, happy ending, at least for these couple that we've had to talk about today.
All right. Well, I think that wraps up our initial overview. Anything else we have?
As far as that goes, I think we're good to go.
All right, on to our first segment.
It's time for the X-Ray, where we dive into the main features and in-depth gameplay.
All right, so getting into the main menu, after we load up the game and see the developer logos and publisher logos, we can get into the main options of the game, starting with career mode, single session, free skate, multiplayer, create skater, park editor, and options. Now, options is actually a treat. Unlike most games, it really has a lot to offer. First thing off the bat would be chat messages that you can use to either taunt or congratulate players that you're playing with while online in System Link or in local multiplayer. And there actually is quite a few different dialogues that you can use to either taunt or compliment the other player. You can also configure all these dialogues individually to each direction that you can move the thumbstick to after you, of course, click the thumbstick down and then move it toward the appropriate direction, giving you the ability to have up to 8 dialogues that you can use while in a game, ranging from, "Dang, dude, you suck," "What's up now?" "You're garbage, dog." "Sit. What was that?" "That's whack." "Yeah, bow down." "See ya. Who's your daddy?" "Hey, forget about it." "Junk. You got spanked." "Nice work." "You rock." "Epic." "Represent." outstanding, impressive. Yeah, baby, that's what I'm talking about. And yo, kid, you got worked. And they're all spoken in a very skater guy way. It's definitely funny and totally early 2000s sounding. Next, we go from there. The controller is configurable with the auto kick and the vibration. It's just two on or off very simple options. But one thing that is cool is they did go through the effort to fully model the Xbox Duke controller in 3D, which I like that little extra detail. It's literally a photorealistic render in 3D of the actual Duke controller that spins next to these options. After that, you can change to sound levels, which this also included an option that I really enjoyed seeing. And it's just another one of those extra details that I absolutely love that they went through the effort to do. And that is, as you adjust the sound level of either the sound effects or the music, you see a tiny little boombox with a handle at the lowest volume setting. But as you increase the volume to the mid level, you'll see an even larger boombox replace that smaller boombox. And then eventually, when you get to the upper level of the audio, it turns into this massive multi-speakered boombox. And it's really funny. And it's also fully 3D rendered and modeled as well. That's photorealistic. Not only that, you know, you've got a schematic of a skateboard in the background that shows the dimensions and lists the parts of the skateboard trucks in the background, accurately representing the bolt size, the part names, and the design of a truck, including where the parts go as well. It's really well designed, just from the menu standpoint. Now, going further, you also have movies. That includes the cinematics that you can see, such as the little video cutscenes that you get to see when you complete the game, and an intro, the Treyarch logo, the Neversoft logo, the Activision logo, the Bales video. And then you also have a video clip compilation of each one of the skateboarders that's in the game, including a special one for the custom skater, Officer Dick, the unlockable character, and Spider-Man in full costume, skateboarding. And these are all real world clips and videos put together of these specific people, which I thought was also a nice touch. Very cool that they went through the effort to include this footage. Next, you'll see just the game credits, which is typical. And after that would be a very, very thoroughly laid out music credits that really goes into a lot of detail. We actually checked that out and we're blown away. It lists the writer of the song, the band, the album the song was on, the studio that signed the artist at the time or was signed to the artist at the time. It shows the websites that you can go to for either the studio or the band, which are still active for most of those, it seems, from what we checked. And then lastly, a trailer for the game Reckless, which we will be getting into at some point, but is definitely a gem. And that's it for the movies section. After that, you can choose your memory unit, and then you can go to cheats, which you have an assortment of cheats that we will get into later on.
Yeah.
There's also high scores that you can check on. You also have a gap checklist where you can monitor how many gaps that you've completed in all the different various levels, which ultimately goes toward an unlockable that we will also talk about later on. And the last thing that you can check is the general options, where you can toggle your trick tips, score display, quick chat, and motion blur. That's it for your options menu. Your park editor is pretty standard. You have an array of items that you can use to create your own dream park, and you also have different levels that you can build your park on. Is that correct?
Yes. You have like six different landscape options when you can create a new park. Like they're all different sizes and shapes. And then they also have a huge array of pre-made parks for the game that a player can use as a basis for making their own park or to get general ideas on how it was made by the developers. So there's 49 different pre-made parks, which is an awesome way of extending the game, as well as creating your own parks, which is only playable in local multiplayer. But
so you don't only have the entire first and second game, plus five exclusive tracks for this new game that is basically a remaster of those first two, you have an additional 49 custom tracks.
Yep.
Or parks.
And each one of those have their own gaps and things like that to do as well.
Very, very intuitive. This game is like the gift that keeps giving. It literally is. All right, so going from there, it pretty much is straightforward. There's a percentage bar on the side when you want to create a track that tells you how full your park is. And I would say the customization of the tracks is extremely intuitive. I mean, you could really create some very unique and very cool stuff if you really wanted to. And you did say that you cannot play custom tracks on System Link. You can only play it local.
Or, single player.
Yeah. So it is a little bit of a dampener, but I guess at the time, internet speeds weren't really up to par, so downloading other people's custom tracks was kind of not really a great option. If the internet speeds were better back then, I think we could have seen a little bit more of a advantage taken in that scenario. That would actually have been a very cool thing to have been available online, more than just System Link, too. All right, next you can create your own skater, which you have four different slots. When you begin customizing your skater, you go into the main menu here, and you can choose where they're from, their age, their preferred style of skating, the way that they stand, their weight, and then you can go into a pretty in-depth customization of how you want your skater to look. And then you can also use your career cash to increase their stats from the beginning, giving them some kind of an edge if you want to complete the career and it not be so difficult from the beginning. If you have the cash on hand, you could max out their stats, essentially. You can also set up their tricks, and even the tricks are configurable to any button combination that applies to that specific trick set. There's just so much customization. You go from there, you can go to multiplayer. You have the choice of playing two-player, three-player, four-player, or System Link. There's custom lobbies that you can host System Link matches in, as well as different game modes that you can choose. Which, do you have the game modes?
Yeah, we have Tag, Horse, Trick Attack, Graffiti, and Free Skate.
And we did end up playing those modes, and we actually had a really good time.
Yeah, it actually was pretty fun.
Yeah, I actually would come back to this game for those modes.
It was a little disappointing that you couldn't play Horse or you couldn't play Tag in System Link play. That was the only thing that was another thing that was a little bit disappointing, considering that everything else was ready to go. But
and those are very fun and very competitive modes, so it's kind of puzzling as to why those wouldn't be included in multiplayer. I think we had the most fun playing Horse.
And that was pretty fun.
Constantly just land tricks and taunt each other. Now, what was the graffiti? Graffiti, that was it. Graffiti was also fun, too. That mode, whoever had the highest scoring trick on any given ramp or object was able to claim that object. And your color was either red or blue, and it would blink that color until the other person landed a higher point value trick on the ramp or the obstacle or object that you had previously landed a trick on. Essentially, what the game calls stealing it. And the winner would be the one who accumulated the most objects that they landed the most valuable trick on.
All of them were really just kind of had their own fun. Trick Attack is basically just, you know, single session, multiplayer, standard, while you're tagging Horse. Like tag was kind of hard to actually do. Horse was fun. I think Graffiti, though, was probably the best one.
It's a toss-up. I'd say the only thing that give Graffiti an edge is the fact that we could play System Link. And I say that because we do actively place X-Link Kai on our consoles. So being able to just go, hey, you want to play Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2X, you know, just for fun's sake? Sure, I'll get on. You know, and we can play Graffiti. Now, playing Horse, we would have to do it in person. But regardless, they're extremely fun modes and definitely worth a play. Is there anything else you want to comment about multiplayer mode?
All maps usable that you've unlocked in career mode to play with. On System Link, it seems like all of them, no matter what status you have unlocked, they're already all unlocked. They all are great maps. I feel like those even the fact that you can play through the original game's maps and all the bonus maps and the actual game's campaign maps to see who does better tricks, stuff like that. The experience was always, it was always a fun to see what things we both knew or both how we both did combos differently. Mm-hmm. I think that was the fun part of it is, you know, seeing. Yes, I think we played, I ended up 40 matches with a couple of them here and there that, you know, we had interruptions with where we just, there's always a timer running in multiplayer. So right. Like you can't just stop and like pause the lobby. It just keeps playing. So you just kind of got to deal with it. I will note another thing that the local multiplayer also had a configurable time limit when you first launched into the level where you could choose a 1 minute, 2 minute, 5 minute, or no time limit option.
That's a little bit much.
Right.
Play until you don't want to play anymore. I'd rather just keep the party going, give it some variety. So, I mean, at least they gave you that option, which goes along with just that overall in-your-face customization that they just threw at you. It's like, here's our game, do what you want with it kind of attitude. So, all right.
So, Free Skate, in my opinion, is where you can choose any level that is in the game that you've unlocked in career mode thus far. Also can use your custom skate parks and play them in Free Skate as well, where you can basically just use it as practice to try and find all the best spots in a specific level or find all the gaps, which is a great opportunity to do that because it is a lot harder to do it in the career mode when you're constantly pressed for time, having 2 minutes just to basically trying to find a specific gap or trying to attain the gap's goal. Because some gaps, it is much harder to complete than a lot of the other ones. But this is, I say, that's the best thing to do is play the career mode just for the career mode. And if you want all the gaps, go back and do the gaps in the Free Skate mode because you just won't be pressed for time and you will allow yourself a lot of freedom to do whatever you want in the park. So that's basically what Free Skate's all about.
Okay. Yeah, that's a very good way to describe Free Skate. The uniqueness of Free Skate allows you to essentially practice. Single session, that's pretty much exactly as it sounds. Not much to really talk about there. You can play by yourself without the career mode.
Yeah, now, you have a two minute timer too to complete as many tricks as possible in single session.
Which is pretty standard. That 2 minute timer definitely clicks by really fast. You know, usually, and we all know this scenario where we're waiting on something and like let's say the microwave, for instance, we're waiting for the microwave to be finished. And that 30 seconds seems like an hour. But the timer in this game, I tell you what, those 2 minutes feel like 10 seconds.
That is utterly the truth.
This game is just that fun, though. It's not a bad thing. Time just flies. It literally flies. There's no other way to describe it. It's such an enjoyable experience. It's almost like it's a time machine. But yeah, I think single session's kind of pointless.
Yeah, it really is. It's just, it's more, to me, I only used it when I was testing out my skills and combos from the created parks. I'd like to see how high of a score I could attain from the park editor.
Oh, right, because you can play your custom tracks in single session. And yes. Free Skate, believe, right?
Yes.
So yeah, that adds a whole bunch of content that you can explore even if you have no one else to play with, or if you feel like exploring this game's depths, which are pretty deep. So now we get into career mode, where you can choose to load a career, start a new career, or continue the career that you're currently on. First skateboarder that you see is Tony Hawk, obviously the OG, the MVP, the man himself. Next would be Bob Burnquist, Steve Caballero, Kareem Campbell, Rune Glifberg, Eric Costin, Bucky Lasik, Rodney Mullen, Chad Muska, Andrew Reynolds, Jeff Raleigh, Alyssa Steamer, Jamie Thomas, and Skater A as your custom skater. Next, there's a pretty good balance of stats. This also features the different skateboarders' type of style that they prefer, which would be the vert, the street, and so on. Their stance is also there, however they like to stand, whether it be goofy or regular.
Which goofy is being right foot forward. Then they have their various names for like what kind of skater they are, whether they're a vert skater, a street skater, or all around. Like the vert is more of a half pipe, quarter pipe type skater, or street skaters. They're more based on skills with manuals and rail grinds and things like that. I never knew personally what those were. So like me getting into this game, I had no clue what any of this stuff was. And I actually kind of got swooped up into that, the wanting to know all about the culture. You know, that's what we do here on this podcast, is I went in and I wanted to know what all these terms meant. And now I'm pretty good at it, although I'm still, you know, tricks and things like that, I'm not like a pro on.
Oh no.
But I know a decent amount of tricks, at least all the basic ones.
Right. You were able to pull off some pretty cool tricks that are definitely worthy of mention. You know, you were able to do the boneless and pull off the stale fish quite proficiently.
Oh yeah, I could pretty much do any type of grab trick or anything like that. That was what I usually did to win the campaign.
Right. Along with the spin tricks, you definitely perfected the art of the spin trick too.
Yes.
So going along with your career, you can also modify your character quite a bit. You can buy stats to increase all the way up to maximum from air, hang time, ollie, speed, spin, landing, switch, rail balance, lip balance, and manuals. And all these stats should accurately reflect what each individual skater is best at and worst at, given their bar graph and how many of the squares are filled in from the one side to the other. You can choose from between different styles of your skater, or you can choose to buy tricks as well as change your skateboard, which also upgrades the skateboard's ability. There is exactly 100 tricks that you can assign to almost any button combination you can think of. They are all specific to one button group. Your flip tricks are specific to the X button, your grab tricks are specific to the B button, and your lip tricks are specific to the Y button. Then you also have a very large selection of specialty tricks, which can range from wherever you assign a specialty trick to, from a bunch of combinations of Y, B, and X. And lastly, you have a bio of each one of the skaters detailing some key facts and information about the person. Also includes a picture of the actual skateboarder, which was also a nice touch. Well, Soft Mike, you have got a lot of experience with career mode, at least as far as this different skate tracks and unlocking them. I didn't get as far as you did. Do you want to go off on that?
Yeah, so right when you get into the career mode, you're going to start off with the Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2 career mode. And that starts off with a level called the Hangar. Every level, there's 7 goals to complete, which you have a high score, pro score, and a 6 score to attain. And then you have to collect the letters skate. And then you have usually like 5 unique to each level type of themed collectible or thing to do or break in order to complete the goal. Then there's usually like one goal which requires you to do a specific trick at a certain area in the level. And then last but not least, you have the secret tape. So there's a secret tape hidden in each level. You got to figure out a way to find it or get to it. Once you've beaten your first level, upgrading your character is like the priority number one, is upgrading stats. Once you got through the hangar, you get to a level called School 2. School 2 is a little bit harder. There's not as much easy identifiable areas to go do tricks at, but it is possible to do that. After the school, you have Mersai, which is a heat competition. And what that is a competition that is done not with no AI. You're basically in the skate park by yourself, and you have 90 seconds to do as high of a combo or high of a score as possible. Whatever the finishing score is, there's a set of judges rank your performance. And the higher the points you have, the closer you get to first place. And you have to do 3 rounds of the competition. Of course, you don't always have to do that. If you feel confident with 2 heats that your score is going to be a standing number, you could end the competition before you at the point when you start heat 3. And if you win, you win the prize money for that competition and can advance into the next levels.
I think that payout for the heats is the most significant payout that can really change the game for you. So winning first place in the heats is like a being given a break. You get so much money.
That's very
it's,
true.
It's also indeed. Essential. It's also essential for unlocking other parks.
Yes. Because they require, I think, to unlock the final level, we require $60,000 to unlock.
And thankfully, even though you spend your cash on different things to be able to get to the point to where you're at the end of the game, that money is just cumulative from what you've earned. It doesn't have to be cash on hand.
Yes. So after Marseille, you have New York, which New York is a very interesting level. There's taxis driving around, and there's a subway station and things like that, along with random gunshots.
And those taxis, might I add, will completely just wreck you if they touch you. Oh, man,
it's hilarious when they hit you, too. I dropped off the subway track one time. When I landed on the ground, it was in the middle of the street, dude. I got creamed by a taxi. It was the most funny thing.
And they, like, yell at you and honk when they do, yeah. too, and they just keep going.
It's kind of ridiculous. At least that's what I thought of it. But with New York, obviously they up the it's like a whole, you know, they up the ante a little bit more. Getting through New York, you go into Venice Beach. For me personally, was like the crossover point between like the game becoming kind of challenging to becoming really easy, because I was able to upgrade my character's skill levels beyond what was normally capable at that level. Oh, yeah. I think for the average skater, at least, I think. So after Venice Beach, then you have Skate Street, which is the second heat competition. Stakes are raised a little bit higher, the money up, the prize is a lot better. And then after Skate Street was Philadelphia, which was probably the hardest. It's definitely the hardest like course to actually get stuff done in, especially the gaps were pretty difficult. And then the last one's the Bullring, which is the last heat competition, which I had no problem with any of the heats. I think I maybe had to retry the first one once in order to get a gold medal.
But I don't understand how you didn't have problems with the heats. Like, the heats were the thing that I dreaded the most. It was probably the single hardest thing to complete for me was getting the heats done and actually winning them. I can't tell you how many times I came in second place. I honestly think we always run into it seems like we always run into something that is like a near breaking point for us in any game that we review so far. And honestly, for me, I believe that the heats were my near breaking point.
Yeah.
All right. Going further from the Bullring, once you've completed all the heats, you win all gold medals. What happens after that, sir?
So after you win all the gold medals, well, you get to see the normal game finishing cutscene, which is a cutscene of a bunch of skaters doing tricks and failing and falling. And once you finish watching that, you then get a notification on the screen saying, you got all the gold medals in career mode. Please watch your bonus video and enjoy the game from here on out. So at that point, you get another cutscene, which shows a lot of skaters doing really well and an iconic moment in the skating scene. So you get to kind of see all that. So once you've done that, you then unlock the bonus mode, their bonus career for Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2X, which allows you to play, I think, 4 or 5 custom levels that you've yet to play yet. So you get to unlock what's called the Club. This is the first one, which Club is London. It's in London. It's a nightclub. It's got music. It's very iconic nightclub-looking style place with a huge DJ booth and all that stuff you can grind up to. They also set the bar kind of high for the goals, but I think they just knew that you, at that point, you were pretty good in order to play that level. So once you beat the Club, then you go on to Dallas, Texas, to a construction site where you basically have a building that's a skyscraper. You can do vert pipe ramp jumps to get up to the top and explore that level and try to get a good score and things like that in that one. Following that, Gate Park is the heat. That's competition. It's basically the same as all the rest of heats, but if you get a gold medal and finish heat in that, competition, you then unlock the original Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 campaign. So you can play through all 9 of those levels, although you are at severely much higher skill level than those levels even present a kind of challenge for. It's just more or less probably figuring out how to complete the goals.
Because those still retain the original trick score that you have to achieve in order to progress through the objective list.
Yeah, and I was doing like literally one spin trick combo, and I would beat that score. And by the time I even landed back down on the vert ramp, so I think it just goes to show. I mean, that's all you can really do. So with that, you go through all 9 levels of the original, which you have warehouse, the original school level, the mall, downhill jam. There's a couple heat levels. There's 3 heats.
Taco Bell signs everywhere.
Oh, this game is full of Taco Bell sponsorships. legitimately made me hungry for Taco Bell.
Then the advertising worked. 20 years later, the advertising did its job.
Burnside was the heat. That was the second one.
Yeah.
I think that was kind of forgettable in a way.
It really was.
The original Tony Hawk Pro Skater levels, I didn't really play them that much, other than just to get the goals and things like that that were standard to the campaign. I think after that, Streets of San Francisco, which I loved getting the secret tape in that level. That was actually really fun. After San Francisco, Roswell, New Mexico. And that was like kind of Area 51 vibe. It was really kind of fun to play through that. And it was just a heat level, so once you beat that, you were done. It was kind of weird, because by the time you get to, when you get to the end of the original, or the second campaign, all the money that you've made, you basically made enough to buy all the stats, all the skate points you could buy for your skateboard, unless you bought special tricks and things like that instead, because special tricks are the most expensive things to buy outside of the normal, you know, tricks that you have available that you can purchase in addition. If they had made it possible to earn money in the 2X career and the original career mode, so you could basically get all the tricks available to your character unlocked, that would have been really cool. You know, once you've reached that point, I was kind of left with just $500 in my skater's bank, and I just kind of rolled with the fact that that's all I could do. The only thing I could buy was like $9,000, and I didn't have anywhere near that. So basically, that's really all this game has to offer at that point. Not saying that's all it has to offer, as if it sounds right. Lackluster, but every time you completed the career mode, it was kind of like, there's more? And then you went back, and it was like, you did that, you beat it, and you're like, there's more?
Yes.
So once you beat Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1, you unlock a special level called Subway in the Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2X menu. And I believe you unlock another secret level. I think one Subway and the other one's Skylands. So you get to kind of skate up on a couple bonus levels, which you're just kind of play around for fun. But there are, in fact, actually 2 more levels that you can unlock in the game, which are only available by completing this Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2 campaign with every other skater available in the game. Not only do you have to beat this game just with a skater, but you have to come back through if you want to unlock all the extra bonus features in the game and play the game each individually with each individual character over and over and over again, up until you've beat it with every other character. I believe Crane Drop is only available after you have gotten all gold medals with every character in the game, minus, I think, 1 character. Chopper Drop is done by beating the game, getting all 3 gold medals with every normal character in the game, including your own custom skater, Officer Dick, and Spider-Man. Skate Heaven is the last level. It's set in outer space, which you can only get if you get 100% in career mode every character in the game, aside from the Gap hidden character. So, yeah, that's pretty much it.
And they give you a lot, man. And you really hit the nail on the head with, you know, once you complete the campaign and it says you unlock something else and you do that level. And then it says you unlock something else. And, you know, each time you're just like, ah, there's more, you know, it just keeps on giving. And I know I've already said it, but it's true.
Yeah, I remember when I first unlocked the PS1 campaign, right. I sent you a text and I was like, after you beat this, there's another campaign.
Yeah, I was just like, what? I thought you were messing with me. I really did. I was like, there's no way there's a second campaign.
Yeah, it was
there's a third one, technically. So
yeah, it's a third one.
This game is just like three games in one, and it lets you do what you want with it, down to almost every aspect of customization you can think of. It, through and through, really is a very well-made game, and it's definitely worth a play. All right, I think it's time for our next segment.
Get ready for X Marks the Spot. The comprehensive look at game secrets and Easter eggs.
Okay, so for our X Marks the Spot, we got some goodies for y'all. This game has got quite the list of cheats available.
Calm down, Paula Deen.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
We got some goodies for y'all.
We do. So this game has a handy-dandy cheat code feature in it, which allows you to actually see the code that you're typing in with the inputs from the Xbox controller.
Oh, yeah. The hidden keyboard.
Yes. So we'll start with the first one. This game has a master cheat code, which unlocks everything. This unlocks all the characters minus the character you unlock from completing all the gaps legitimately.
Well, this is the first game that we've reviewed yet that has a master cheat.
Yes. So with this cheat, as you can see, it actually would spell out Saturday Baby when you put the code in. And when it does that, a lightning strike kind of appears in the area where the cheat code happens, letting you know that it was input correctly. And to completely abuse this feature, I would say, go into the career mode and open up a level. Once you jump in the level, end the run, and you will see a bunch of notifications popping up, letting you know you unlocked some extra characters and some goodies while you're at it. So that's our first one. Our second one is the wireframe mode. I believe that would say all sticks, which makes sense because it's been wireframe mode.
Right.
I never personally put the code in, but if you wanted to see how your character's wireframe animations look, then there you go. Slow motion, which should spell out Rasta Buddy. Yep. So Rasta Buddy, which allows you to go in slow motion while you're in the air. But while you're on the ground, you would be in full speed. Then you have Big Head Mode, which spells Burly Skulls. Sim Mode, which allows changes the game physics to be more realistic. The animation speed is sped up to like more of a realistic speed, which requires faster spins and shorter ollies. This spells out Crusty Scabs, allows for Sim Mode. Moon Physics makes the jumps basically moon level gravity, which spells out Flush Rolls, whatever that means.
Yeah.
But that enables moon physics. There's also a cheat code for doubling the moon physics, which is also stackable. So you can actually have triple moon physics if you put in both codes. So that would spell out, it's basically the same code as moon physics, but they put extra in front of it.
That's funny.
That is pretty cool. Smooth shading basically changes the game to where that you don't see any textures in the game. Everything's sort of gray and has a smooth shader applied to the model, so it kind of looks shiny and kind of bland. So I don't recommend having this code, but if you want to see it, it spells out dull yards. I don't know, that's weird. If you want to unlock all levels, so Dull Baby, and that will unlock all the levels in the game. There is a code for a bonus cut level, although I was never too successfully to get this to work because the code ended up being too long. So I'm going to go ahead and disregard this one. If you want to use extra Treyarch decks for your character, which is usable only by your creative, the skater that you can create, none of the actual iconic skaters like Tony Hawk or Steve Caballero spells. It stands for Treyarch Boards. Okay, so that will unlock extra Treyarch decks. If you're on a little bit on the queasy side and you don't like to see blood being spewed from your character during a fall or failed trick maneuver, you can actually disable the blood completely, which stands for scabs. This will disable all blood mechanics in the game completely. This code I never got a chance to use, but maybe if you have a second controller, you could potentially do this. And that is by doing press start using two controllers, holding left trigger, press up, down, up, left on controller 1 and 2 at the same time. This will allow unlimited specials to be performed in two-player mode. Here's how to unlock the career modes, which is, if you want to unlock the 2X career mode, you just win 3 gold medals in all competitions. In the Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2 career mode, if you want to do the original Tony Hawk Pro Skater career mode, you have to win a gold medal in the Tampa Bay competition in the Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2X career mode. To unlock the New York subway level, you have to collect all tapes in every level in the Tony Hawk Pro Skater career mode. To get the Detroit Skyline level, you have to get a 100% completion in the Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2X career mode. Officer Dick is done by getting 100% completion in Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2 career mode with any regular skater. The Spider-Man is unlockable by getting 100% completion in Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2 career mode with a Korean skater. If you want to unlock the character named Trixie, you have to complete all the gaps that are available in the original Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2 career. You can also unlock a 80s Tony Hawk costume by completing the career mode or free skate mode with Tony Hawk. So that will allow you to see what Tony Hawk looked like back in the 80s.
Boy.
There is quite a list of random things here. I won't be able to confirm or deny most of these. The ones that I find, they're kind of like Easter eggs in a way. In the hangar level, if you enable moon physics and go to the propeller, that opens up the secret area to the big half pipe. If you go in there and use the half pipe, you can see a room sticking out of the wall. If you time it correctly, you can actually see Officer Dick watching you from the window.
That's cool.
In Marseille, France, there is a hidden area by only accessed by knocking down a telephone pole, which then opens up a hole in the fence it's near. When you go through it, unlocks a hidden area which has a water fountain and some small wall gap areas. In New York, a hidden sewer area. If you go through the turnstiles at the top of the subway level, on the other side, you can turn left and go up the stairs to the upper area. While you're over there, you can do an ollie on the turnstiles. And if you turn around and ride back to the turnstiles without ollieing, and then exit the way you came in, when you get to the ground floor, you can turn around and go right down the subway tracks. And there was a train that was once blocking the way, but is now gone. It should be now there. There's a hidden sewer area.
That's cool.
In Skate Heaven, there's a hidden area. There's a far shack near the loop. You wall ride up the loop to the top and grind the rail to the end. In the middle of doing this, there's a gap that would be called Time to Feed the Volcano. After you get off that rail, you'll take a left and you go up a little. While the volcano is erupting, you need to jump in the middle. This will take you to a secret area with a half pipe. When building your own course, press black or white for more pieces, or X or Y for even more pieces. Okay. I knew that. Hawaii, underwater skating. That's the one with the cheats. And New York City, if you go out far enough, you can actually skate on the water. But I think it's probably only available if you jump off the roof. That's pretty much it. So I will go over the list of cheats that you unlock by completing the game each individual time with a different character. So the first time you complete the career mode, depending on who it is, if you do it with Tony Hawk, you get 80s Tony Hawk.
Right.
If you do it, clear the career mode with Trixie, you unlock what's called disco mode, which changes all the ramps, different colors, like every 2 seconds. And just keeps cycling, you know, like different colors. It's pretty interesting. If you play and beat the career mode with Spider-Man, you can apparently, it's called level flips, which I think just flips the level to the opposite orientation. So instead of going, say, right down a track, you would go left.
Mirror mode.
Yeah, I think that's what it does. Well, although I didn't test that out, so I can't really know. If you beat the career mode with Officer Dick, you unlock the moon physics cheat. If you clear the career mode twice, skip to restart cheat. A cheat that I don't really know what does, what that does exactly. I really don't know what that does at all. I'm assuming that maybe just makes resetting the level easier. Not sure.
Skip
you beat a three, huh? Skip to restart. It's so, like, I guess it skips to the restart.
I'm not sure.
Beating the career mode 3 different times unlocks kid mode. Beating 4 different times unlocks perfect balance mode. And I from what I can also understand, I'm just going to put this out there. Unlocking these codes does not hamper your performance. So you can actually cheat to go through the rest of the game. You could, in theory, do that. Beating the game 5 times unlocks the always special code, which always has the special bar filled to use your special tricks. 6 times unlocks stud mode. Apparently, stud mode gives you perfect stats. Oh. Okay, there you go. So that would make it so you don't have to ever upgrade your character. You just have stud mode on and you could literally do whatever you want.
Oh, so it gives you max stats without actually showing that you have max stats.
Correct. If you beat the career mode 7 times, you unlock weight mode, which allows you to adjust the weight of the skater physically in the character selection menu, which is kind of funny because you can set it all the way up to 400 pounds or go as light as like 64 pounds. Clear the career mode 8 times, you get wireframe mode. Clearing the career mode 9 times unlocks slow motion mode. Clearing the career mode 10 times does big head mode. Clearing the career mode 11 times unlocks sim mode. Clearing the career mode 12 times unlocks the smooth mode. And I think that's all of the times you'd have to beat the game. And then, of course, to completely finish the game, you would just make sure that you completed all of the careers with every character 100% to unlock every character and every person. So yeah, I think that's really it.
That's
so,
honestly way too much.
Yeah, there's a lot. This game just keeps giving.
Yeah, it definitely does. There's so many things to unlock, and it's a real treat to do so. No one's going to play this game all the way through legitimately 12 times in order to unlock everything. And if you do, you're a psychopath.
Yeah.
So, literally. Yeah, right. It's like Michael Jordan said, stop it. Get some help. Just not healthy. But as far as the gameplay goes and as much as offered, that is definitely healthy. A healthy serving of things to do.
All right. So, well, I think that pretty much wraps it up for our X marks the spot.
All right. Let's get on to our next segment.
Oh my God. He on X Games mode.
Are you ready? Here is the X Games mode. Our personal tales of triumph, adrenaline-pumping gameplay, and sweat-inducing rampages.
Okay, so our most exciting segment as far as we go personally in our experience playing any of these games. Yeah, would you like to go first on telling us about your X Games moments?
Yeah. So, personally, the way that I put it is it's the perfect definition of the X Games mode. It is literally, that is the entire game. It is every moment you're constantly doing something. It's an X Games moment kind of feel. You know, you're always trying to do better or trying to complete the competitions or whatever. But it's even more appealing and more fun and more challenging and adrenaline rushing. In multiplayer. System Link, it was crazy how much adrenaline would be going on trying to get more ramps or doing the graffiti challenge. To me, that personally was probably the most X Games mode feeling in this game. It is just the fact that we're trying to beat each other on who had the best tricks on each section of ramp and who could claim it for their character. And that was honestly the most fun I had in this game thus far. The only thing that I personally feel like would have topped this is being able to actually use the park editor created levels in multiplayer. Because being able to use the 49 additional pre-made parks would have been kind of just the topping on the cake.
Yeah.
Even just the pre-made levels would have just been fun to play around with in multiplayer on System Link. So personally, that's kind of my experience, and was nothing more fun than going through all the levels, playing with Excalibur, and trying to beat each other. Like I said, we played 40 rounds with a couple of them not mattering here and there, and I think we pretty much ended up being around pretty much the same score. So we did pretty much 50-50 tie. So that is my personal experience on the X Games mode. How about you, Excalibur?
With me, my X Games mode moment would have probably been the heats mode, for sure. Trying to beat the other scores, even though I did great, and not knowing if I had scored high enough and done well enough to actually knock out the competition and get the medal finally. Because I did try over and over and over and over. And it was definitely a task and a half. A real test that made me sweat was definitely playing the heats. Each one of them, too. You know, it was not just the Bullring. It wasn't just Skate Street or Mercilli. They were all equally an engaging and definitely sweat-inducing combination that really pushed you. You know, and your heart did get pounding. I think that adrenaline rush is one thing that this game was able to provide. Although the heats mode definitely was quite a chore, and like I had mentioned before, was probably my personal near breaking point where I almost gave up on the game. It just kept you engaged and wanting so badly to just complete and get past it. It presented the challenge that was enough to push you to your boundaries. And I really enjoyed that. So, I mean, anything else in the game, really, it wasn't really a sweat. You know, you put together the task list of, like, what was the easiest thing you could accomplish in these 2 minutes, or what would you like to try and accomplish in these 2 minutes, and then you sought out to do that. It was kind of easy peasy, no sweat. It did get a little bit like the heats mode in the late stages, where you definitely got that adrenaline rush, and it was totally a race against the clock when you were trying to get the 6 score, I would say. The 6 score definitely brought that out. Multiplayer was fun, and I would like to say that was an X Games mode moment, but it really wasn't, because we didn't have any competition except for ourselves, and that was just really recreational. The only real urgency that brought any kind of heart rate increase or whatnot was just basically purely that of competition. And that really doesn't count to me too much, unless it actually matters toward a common goal. So in that regard, I would say the heats and the 6 score was really what was the X Games mode moments for me in this game.
Well, I'd say it's time for our last segment.
All right, let's get to it.
Let's get X-rated, where we rank the game based on our evaluation of 10 core gaming elements.
Alright, X-rated. Excalibur, would you like to go ahead?
Yeah. My official score for Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2X, starting with graphics, is a 4.
Boom, dude. Me too.
Ha! We're in the same mindset on this. I felt that they were a little muddy, especially when you looked at the character models. The textures just seemed very low res, and they kind of blended together. It was kind of washed out, too. The details were just not definable, particularly. The riders looked like extremely old men versus their headshot photo looking exactly like themselves, you know, and much younger. And then also when you got into the worlds, they also, depending on where you were at, some places had a lot of the same color, and the textures were low res enough to where some of the objects and ramps would tend to blend together. I think it could have been a little bit better looking. Difficulty, I gave an 8. I felt this game had a really good difficulty curve, and it did a really good job of ramping up the progression of the difficulty, with the scores becoming harder to obtain, and the objectives becoming harder to accomplish as well. It had a point to where it was a little bit easy at first, and there was a little bit of an imbalance, but I believe it was pretty close to being on par with a really good or ideal difficulty scope. Single player experience, I gave a 7. I felt the single player experience was kind of like a gift that kept on giving. It just gave you something else to do once you thought you were done, over and over and over again. The game seemed to go on forever and had a very large amount of content available at your disposal. With the amount of customization that you had, and with the selection of riders and tracks, you really could play this game and could definitely get lost in it. The game handled great. The objectives were fun. The soundtrack was pretty good. And it all just worked together along with the difficulty. Multiplayer, I gave it a 9. Multiplayer rated really high because they had a lot of mechanics that really brought it together with their different modes that you could play with either local or online and System Link. You could taunt or congratulate players, which I thought was wonderful. And then the game modes. They offered so much more than just doing tricks and trying to get the highest score. They made it fun, and they made it much more interactive, and gave it a longevity that I think later on down the line, we'll definitely pick this game back up and play it, just for the simple fact that it was done so well for multiplayer. The inclusion of System Link was also a big deal, especially for a launch title. Not too many games in the entirety of this library even have System Link, and for it to have it from the get-go was also a big plus. Design. I gave it a 6. It's a little bit Stone Age, I guess, in terms of how it was put together. The game didn't feature what a next-gen game would tend to feature, and it's not only, you know, the massive amount of content that you have at you with the customization, but when it comes to the next generation is usually bigger and better. This game could have included some kind of a story that gave you like a career progression type story that goes along with the classic gameplay that we all know and love when it comes to these Tony Hawk Pro Skater games. I think they kind of played it a little bit safe, however, by just going with the same tried and true recipe that ultimately led to this game's success in the end. But I would have liked to have seen a little bit more in terms of a storyline. I think they could have incorporated that pretty easily. Controls, I gave an 8. Very high rated. The controls were tight. They worked as they should. And they were pretty comprehensive. Plus, they were fully customizable. There's not that many games out there that gives you complete customization over the controls in every way that you could think you would want to control your character. It made the game very playable. And even if it wasn't your playstyle, the way it was set up originally, you could change that. And you could make it the way that it would fit your playstyle. Now, features is going to be its highest scoring because of the fact that there's so much content. And that I gave a 10 for features. This game offered you way more than you should expect from a game in terms of the amount of content that you can have at your fingertips or to even think that you could come across in any game. It just, like I already said plenty of times, it just keeps giving and giving and giving. Definitely a packed game. The features of the little details in the menu, the movies, the tracks, the customization of the characters, the customization of the tracks, it just goes on and on. There's such a heavy amount of content. You're definitely not going to run out of things to do with this title. And then replayability, I gave an 8. It's definitely a desirable game to go back to. With the amount of content that there is, it's definitely not one that you can play the entire thing through in one sitting and then be tired of it, because even if you could, you wouldn't be able to experience it all adequately. So it's definitely one you'd want to pick back up, especially with the fact that it has the System Link and there are still actively playing people on X-Link Kai 2 today. I gave Soundtrack a 7. Because the soundtrack just fit, and it worked very well. It meshed super good. It was just a perfect blend of songs. The only thing that was an issue was near the end of my playthrough, the soundtrack did get extremely repetitive, and I believe ultimately that's the reason why it couldn't have scored any higher, aside from the fact that the tracklist was extremely short. Lastly, skill level. This game got a 5. It's pretty middle ground. It's very accessible for anybody who maybe hasn't even ever played this kind of game before. It wouldn't be too hard for them to pick it up and play it. And with the amount of customization already mentioned, it wouldn't be too difficult for somebody to critique this game's controls to fit and make it more playable for them. With the way that this game progresses, I don't think it's impossible for anybody to pick up and play. So with all that said, this game scores a 73. Which is a grade B.
Very good.
And then lastly, in our final rankings list, this game was able to actually take the number 2 slot from NASCAR Heat 2002, becoming my number 2 game, just below my number 1 game, Oddworld Munch's Odyssey.
Impressive.
Oh, yeah. What you got, Soft Mike?
All right. So for me, as you know, starting off with the graphics, we got a 4 because the detail in the textures was kind of shoddy, especially like it was being hidden behind a motion blur effect. It was very obvious. The skaters did look not really accurate to what they were supposed to look like. The difficulty, I gave this game a 4. I thought the balance of difficulty was a little too easy. It didn't have any selectable difficulty. I mean, it's just a skating game, so I guess it makes sense. But and this, you got to rely on the game's level design to give you the difficulty balance you're looking for. And I feel like going up basically against static goals and just the, what is present in front of you, it typically got. It was only difficult in the beginning when your character's stats were low. Once you improved your stats by winning the earlier levels, that is when, like I said, at right around the Venice Beach point, I felt like I was no longer being hampered by my character's ability to do tricks or anything like that. It became kind of natural.
Yeah, you are right about that. By the end, when your stats were maxed, you were pretty OP.
Oh yeah, for sure. Single player, I gave an 8. I thought this game had a fantastic single player experience. With As Excalibur mentioned, there's always more to do. There's always something else you could continue playing, and it would help you beat the game, or you could even play with cheats on if you really wanted to, and it would still not hamper your ability to play the game. Not that that's something that's desirable, but it's something we haven't seen thus far in a game, is that the developers didn't care whether you had cheats on because they rewarded you for actually knowing what the cheats were. So this game had always a new thing to do, and if you didn't run into boredom getting into 3 different career modes, well then you had your own skate park editor where you could basically create whatever you wanted and skate around and have your own fun. Or to throw it into a local multiplayer lobby and throw on 2-player and have some fun with a friend. And if that wasn't enough, you had system link capabilities, you could hop on and you could play online. Now, of course, it's just the base levels. You can't play any of the park editor levels, but still, there's more than enough maps to keep you and anybody that was online occupied. Multiplayer, I also gave an 8. It was basically on par with the single player experience. Even though you didn't get to go as deep as you could just by yourself in single player, in multiplayer, the thrill of being online and being able to play with friends, that's really what makes the game. Design, I gave this a 8. Levels were always distinctly detailed. You always had something fun or interesting to do in each level, no matter what it was. And the secret areas in each level was also really fun to find and look through. Controls. This game is, here's this number one feature, in my opinion. I gave controls a 10 out of 10. I really loved this game's control scheme. The fact that you have, as you'd put it, there was customizable controls, and there was also the ability to have multiple button combos that were usually pretty easy to remember. By any means, I was not perfect. There are still many things I didn't learn or tricks I didn't do, but overall, I felt like this game nailed controls. Features I gave in 9, as we have just said many times, this game is a giving game. It kept giving you more to do, and if you didn't have enough, you always had more things you could go out and find in the other parts of the game. Whether it was single player, multiplayer, the park editor being one of my favorite features. Replayability, I gave this game a 5. This game gives you sort of an average feeling when it comes to replayability. The one downfall about this game is that one of the reasons why you have such a desire to come back and play is because there's always something more to do. But once you've run out of those things to do, are you going to come back and play the games again? The one thing that we mostly griped about was that we'd have to go through the campaign with every character and every skater in order to unlock the rest of the game. And I feel like that looks like such a chore because you have to complete the game 11 more times. That could be a pretty daunting task. Speaking as I went into this game pretty much dry knowledge. I had no manual to help me figure out the buttons. There was no tutorial, which was another down kind of fault, was that we had no way of knowing what we had to do. I didn't know what half the tricks were. I had to look most of them up Soundtrack, I gave this game a 6. This game had a very enjoyable, pretty general list of music, especially with ambient music that were accompanying licensed music. It was very skater, and I felt like it represented the game well. Although, as you had said, repetitious.
Yeah.
After a while, especially with multiple retries, you typically hear the game soundtrack over and over and over and over and over.
Right, because every time you retry a stage, like a new track starts. So if you try a stage and you mess up, like right out the gate, you're restarting right away. So you're hearing another track. You just flip through that entire track list really fast.
Yes. So, yeah, I'd say you're in a level for 2 minutes. How long are these tracks? You know, are these tracks are probably much longer than 2 minutes. So you're probably only hearing the first 2 minutes of a track at best over and over again, especially when you retry. That's pretty much the only issue. You can put in a custom soundtrack. This is one of out of only 3 games in the original launch titles that has the ability to import a custom soundtrack. So that way,
yeah,
you could avoid that repetitive soundtrack if you really wanted to. And last but not least is a skill level. I gave a 6. I felt like this game did a pretty decent job challenging you. You do need to be somewhat skilled with hand-eye coordination in order to do a lot of the tricks, and especially with doing combos. There were a lot of times, especially when I was trying to do gaps, that I was struggling and having a lot of difficulty with the gaps that they had listed. But in the end, I persevered and I got through it. I almost came to my breaking point a few times. Tally it up. We got a final score of a 68.
A ooh.
B, a nice B, like just below where you're at. So
yeah, yeah, pretty close.
Testament to this game. So where does this rank in my final score list, you say? This puts...
Top 5.
Oh yeah, it's top 5 at least. It's actually so hot, so high in the top 5, it's number 1 now.
What?
Yeah. This takes my number 1 spot. NASCAR Heat 2002 drops her down to number 2.
This is strange about the way you rate things, man. You praise a game and then put it in a, like the middle of the list, and you shred a game like you shredded this one, which was fantastic, and you put it in number 1 spot. What gives?
Well, I mean, I didn't necessarily destroy this game. I thought that it was, like I said, it's a B. It's a high B. So it's right. Actually a very good score compared to what we've had. What really I like about this game above all the other ones is the ability to customize. As you know, I am a huge editor type person. So like being able to jump into an editor and make my own skate park, that's totally me. So this game delivers an editor that is like the holy grail. That's what helps bring this game above the rest, especially with the plethora of tricks you can do. So many career modes.
Absolutely.
Things like that. This game is just a top player. You can't get any better than that. I think this is the best game thus far that we've played out of the launch titles.
Okay. Okay. I'll take that. I tend to be a little bit more harsh in my ratings of games, but there are those ones that you can definitely tell it definitely warmed my cold, dead heart a little bit when it comes to my review. And this one definitely did such a thing. So, okay, there is our final review of this game, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2X. As always with every episode, if you have anything to add, any nostalgia, memories that go along with this game, or the previous titles that are also included in this game, let us know by commenting or sending us a message. Any podcast platform you're listening on, make sure to give us a 5-star review if you can. If we missed anything, please let us know as well. We would be glad to hear from you. Okay, do you want to tell us what the next game is?
Yeah, so our next game is going to be your favorite fighting game of all time, Dead or Alive 3.
Yeah. And definitely one that is iconic, I guess, in the realm of fighting games. And I'm excited to get into it.
Yeah, so I really am looking forward to playing this series because I've never actually played any of the Dead or Alive games. So I think it'll be a pretty interesting first experience.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I definitely haven't really had too much experience with fighting games. I've picked up a few over the years, but never really gotten into the more Japanese titles. So stay tuned for when we release that next episode. And also stay tuned for updates on our progress as we go. So until next time, I'm Excalibur.
And I'm your co-host, Soft Mike.
And we will see you in the next one. Hello, loyal listeners. Excalibur here. Thank you for listening. If you like what you hear, please consider becoming a supporter by going to our Patreon and pledging a couple bucks. Not only does this grant you exclusive access to early episodes and other content only available to supporters, but you also get to know you're making a difference by helping keep the lights on so that we can keep providing excellent content for you. Also consider joining the OG Xbox modding community on Facebook, where you can find anything you may need or want from the most trustworthy and quality-forward bunch of innovators keeping this amazing console alive to today. You can also become a part of the action by submitting a game for us to review via 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you may listen. Also consider liking and sharing our social media. You can find us on Twitter via our Twitter handle, ThinkBox Podcast, or on Facebook at Thinking Inside the Box. You can also write into us via email at thinkinginsidetheboxpodcast@outlook.com. Until the next time, thank you for listening, thank you for your patronage, and we will see you in the next one.